Geekard presents Don't Make Me Watch That, with your hosts, Andrew Young and Leslie Hudson.
In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like the speed of light, Don't Make Me Watch That is there in time.
Oh, God.
I'm your host, the amazing Andrew Young.
Right, and I'm the unwilling Leslie Hudson.
No, it'd be Leslie the unwilling. That's
oh, whatever. Whatever it is, I'm unwilling and sad that I got sucked in by this movie.
That's right, because this week we are talking about not the latest Spider-Man film to hit the cinemas last month. That'll be in a future episode of Don't Make Me Watch That. But instead, we will be talking about 2012's Amazing Spider-Man, starring Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
Right. Blondie, Emma Stone.
Yes.
The saddest of things to happen to Emma Stone is blonding her up.
That's her natural hair color, actually. She dyes her hair red.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I like the red.
No, I like the red, too. Mm. But the character that she was cast is a traditional blonde.
No, so. I get it. It was just sad. I saw Emma Stone and I went, oh. You're blonde.
You know, I think she looks all right as a blonde.
She looks better than all right as a blonde. She definitely, I'm not faulting the look of Emma Stone. Yeah. I just prefer her as a redhead.
I prefer her as a redhead as well. I think she prefers herself as a redhead
Good
as well.
Good for her.
So, and that's what
redheads.
Yeah, that's what really matters. Yes, is that she prefers herself as a redhead.
Yes.
Not what we prefer.
Well, we all have preferences. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's allowed.
But yeah, so 2012's Amazing Spider-Man. This was a relaunch of the franchise after Sam Raimi had done three movies that had Spidey singing and dancing and all emo and all that shit.
He was singing and dancing?
The third movie. There was music, there was dancing, he was emo.
I'm so happy I missed that
didn't
crap.
I didn't see it myself because I heard it was bad.
Oh.
So that's how bad Amazing...
You didn't see a Spider-Man movie?
Yes.
Wow.
I wasn't a fan of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, but I'm a fan of this one, not its sequel, Amazing Spider-Man 2, which came out, I think, in 2015. I'm not sure. Amazing Spider-Man 2 was really, like, it went off the rails again and got really, like...
Shocking.
Cheesy and campy as hell. And so...
You could tell that by the last third of this movie.
All right, well,
they were going.
Let's get right into it. So,
okay.
So
can we go to the last third?
Well, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the beginning because during your watching of that film, I started to get texts, as I usually do, basically, you know, tell me about things you don't like about the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah, because then you can remember what it was I said.
Right, and at the beginning of this particular conversation, you didn't talk about the movie. You said you were very angry with me because you were beginning to like the movie.
Yeah, I got totally suckered into this movie because it seemed like they might not have been taking it in the direction that all of these fucking movies go.
Right.
But only two-thirds of the way did they take me that way, like where they sucked me in. And then they betrayed me and went right back to being a fucking regular old superhero movie. And it was unfortunate and disappointing.
Okay, all right. So at the beginning there, was it the fact that it was just the, you know, kind of focusing in on the teenage life? That the fact that it wasn't like straight
no,
up like...
What I loved at the beginning, and this is what I love about... This is why I write about the redheaded... I don't call them superheroes. The redheaded comic book characters, female ones. Because they tend to walk this line. They're not good, they're not evil, and they can switch back and forth because there is no such thing as good and evil. There is just gray in the middle. And we just make choices that take us along certain paths. That's all that happens. So I get tired of the same old good versus evil trope. It bores me. I prefer the characters that you can't quite predict which way they're going to go. You might be able to, depending on their track record. Oh, in this particular situation, it's likely this person will side here. Or it's likely this person will side here. But they're their own masters. So at the beginning of this movie, Spider-Man was his own master. He wasn't sure what he was. He wasn't out for the good of the world. Even after Ben gets shot, he still doesn't go, that's it, I'm turning good, I must save the world. He doesn't do that. He goes out for revenge, which is part of his character arc. And it's fascinating because you don't know where he's going to go in the movie. I should have known, obviously. It's Spider-Man. They're obviously going to make him go. But the movie didn't feel that way. The movie felt like... Well, he's just his own guy. He's still technically, he's a teenager. He's in high school still in this version. So there's all kinds of potential there for him to be angsty, but not emo. And good-hearted because he was raised that way. I mean, it's part of his nature. But not sucky about it. Not Captain America about it. Just... And he's really sarcastic and he's funny.
Right.
And I loved him as an actor and his hair is ridiculous. I mean, he just... And I loved Emma Stone. I thought she was great. So it was... I got sucked in. I got fucking sucked in by this goddamn movie. I was thinking, oh, this could go all kinds of ways. No. Then Lizard Man. And I love Rhys Ivins. I love him.
Yeah.
And he was awesome until he became a fucking lizard. He became now we've got a lizard running around and now it's a superhero movie. But up until that point, I was really engaged. I really, really liked what I was seeing. They tackled the story in a way that was somehow freshly believable, which I think is almost impossible to do with one of these franchises. I was pretty impressed with it, actually, until it just fell. It just fell back into the way all the superhero movies go. And then it's predictable and it's boring.
One of my favorite parts in the first half of the film is when Uncle Ben is... I can't remember if he's dropping Peter off at school or whatever, and he sees Gwen Stacy, and he's like, he's got a picture of you on his computer.
He's picking him up from being in trouble in the principal's office. He basically had to bail him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That right there, like, that would be what my dad would have done.
It was really funny. And then the whole, like, awkward teenage romance thing worked with them. It was really believable. It was. I was happy, and so I'm mad at the movie for just becoming what all of these movies become, and I'm mad at you for making me watch a movie that I was really got suckered into, and I was like, oh, I really actually like this, fuck, and then I was like, oh, see? This is why I don't like these movies. I don't know.
No, what about Dennis Leary as Captain Stacy, though?
I love Dennis Leary, always. Right. I don't care what he's in. It doesn't matter. I love Dennis Leary every time I've seen him.
Right.
So
did you
Captain Stacy is a lame name.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid of anyone named Captain Stacy, personally. But he is really hard. He's got that... He can be very hard. Like, in the British sense of the word.
Yes. The gruff man's.
Yeah, you wouldn't mess with him.
No.
He just has a silly name.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And, well, again, there is a way you can mess with him. If you're his daughter and you tell him you have cramps.
That was fabulous. That was so... She was like, I'm not getting rid of him. How do I get rid of him? Oh, I'll just bring up menstrual cramps. That'll be perfect. And it works. He gets so just visibly uncomfortable and backs away down the hallway. It's okay. I don't need to know. I'm good. It was the best. It was a good tactic.
Yeah.
She's smart.
Now,
she's smart, but by the end of the story... They just turn her into a prop. She just becomes a prop.
Okay,
she's smart and she's awesome.
Right, before we get to the prop, though, because you're talking about how she's smart, one of the things that did bother you with her is that she didn't figure out that he was Spider-Man.
Yeah, he has to tell her. I said MJ would have figured it out. MJ figured it out at 13, okay? Like, she figured it out the day she moved in or whatever, next door.
I've always said that Gwen is kind of... book smart but not street smart.
Yes.
So she's got
a
naivete to her.
She's very naive.
And so Gwen wouldn't have been searching for that answer. Whereas Mary Jane, very inquisitive, very, you know, likes to get into danger and stuff like that.
And in the original, Gwen Stacy's father is the police chief.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Captain Stacy, yeah.
So this is the part that's unbelievable to me.
Right.
There's it makes no sense that the daughter of a detective would have that few, I don't know, detectabilities. Like, she just, I'm using that as a word now. She should have detectabilities. If she doesn't, it doesn't make sense that she comes from a father who she would have seen constantly behave that way. Mm. She would have been raised by someone who was constantly detecting. And she has the genes of the man who is constantly detecting. So that's kind of unbelievable.
It's funny because it's not usually used like as a verb like that.
Detectabilities? It's a superpower.
He's detecting. Excuse me right now. If everybody could leave the crime scene, I'm detecting. Thank you very much.
Well, he's his own superhero, I guess. It's a superpower.
Well, yeah. So I think we'll talk a little bit now about
the last
lizard.
Third.
No, let's talk about the last third. So let's talk about the lizard.
Okay. Okay.
Let's talk about Rice Ifans. You're a fan of him. He becomes the lizard. The actual look of the lizard. How'd you feel about that?
For the last month or so, I've been watching that show Face Off. Have you ever seen that show?
Right, yeah, yeah.
With the makeup artists.
Yeah.
So I'm much more intimately aware now of how makeup works,
right,
and how they create it and why they create it the way they create it and that sort of the sort of process behind the scenes. So from that perspective, one thing I did notice and thought was kind of cool was when he was in between being the lizard and himself, he'd have little patches of scales on his skin still. I thought that was kind of cool. But it's too over the top. I'm not a big fan of the mutant, like that's why X-Men goes too far for me. That's why I like Jean Grey. She doesn't, there's no wings sprouting out of her back or anything. Yeah, I prefer and Professor X. I like the stuff that's all in the mind.
Right.
Or things that are more subtle and not quite so obvious. So turning into a giant lizard and then moving his lair, his lab, he used to have a lab and now he's moving it down into a lair in the sewer. All of that technology in the sewer? Are you fucking stupid? You're a scientist. You can't let moisture, first of all, get into your... It's not protected. It's just next to an open sewer. Oh, the lizards are smart. No, they're not smart. When it comes to technology, clearly they're idiots. So he's got his cameras set up and all that wiring and everything. Oh, it's cool because I'm in a lair by the sewer. No, that's stupid and impractical.
Well, that's the thing though. Well, reptiles, like the reptilian side of him would be taking over. So he would not have, he would be losing smarts because he'd be adapting a different type of instinct. And so
how did he still manage to function and use all the technology?
I'm not saying all of it would be gone. I'm just saying extent.
No, they sacrificed believability because for the first two thirds, the first half or whatever, he's a very believable scientist and his motivations are believable and the environment, the building isn't over the top. It has that little cutesy... little crown on the top of the building, the design of the building, so it sticks out, Oscorp or whatever.
Yeah, Oscorp, yeah.
It sticks out from the other buildings, but it's not too much.
That wasn't designed by him, because he's just Kirk Connors, he's just one of the people who
works
there.
The design of the film. I mean, the film is very believable.
Right.
It makes, and even the spiders weren't that odd. It wasn't that weird.
Yeah.
The radioactive spider thing, or no one's being hit by lightning, or it wasn't that weird. The kinds of, they made it very believable, is what I'm saying. The pseudoscience was swallowable, but not that's when they crossed the line for me. That's when it became just silly.
Okay.
And it took away the sort of gravitas of the rest of the first two thirds. And the struggle that he had, that Rhys Ifans was experiencing being, the former best friend of the father and of Peter Parker's father and all of that stuff.
Right.
That stuff was believable. It felt real to me. But not when Lizard Man became Lizard Man. I'm not calling him the Lizard. I don't care.
Dr. Kirk Connors became the Lizard.
Yeah, yeah. He becomes a Lizard Man. And all of a sudden he hates everything and wants to eat everybody. It's just stupid. That's just stupid. That's like, we need to make a bad guy. So let's just make this guy the bad guy. But there was no arc. There was no switch from just because he became a lizard, now suddenly he doesn't care about people. He's ripping people out of their cars and causing mayhem going down the bridge and shit. Why? Why all of a sudden is he doing that? There's no justification for that switch.
So that he can create a world of lizard people.
What, just like that?
With lizard
cops. He was still fighting the idea. Oh. No. It's like...
Lizard cops.
If they had just made the entire movie the way Star Wars should have been, if they'd made the entire movie leading up to that change in him, and he became the lizard at the end, not two-thirds of the way through, but at the end, that would have been much better. Because there was no moment, there was no lovely little wrestling with himself. It wasn't long enough that he wrestled with himself. He just went from, I'm now a lizard, I'm killing everybody. What the fuck? Why? To coming back to being human and going, you know what? Rationally, I think lizards are actually better than people and I'm going to work towards whatever. You can't go full on lizard killer And is that really what lizards do? Lizards are apex predators? That's not lizard mentality. It just doesn't make any sense. It made no sense.
Lizards are the most fearful creatures known to man.
And what was there about the vision? Remember, I looked up, lizards have better vision than human beings do.
Yeah, and what happened was is that in it, he sees the, they have an antidote mist that goes out that's blue, and his stuff is green. And so he sees the mist going over the city, the antidote, and thinks it's his mist, which is green.
He's all excited about it. Yeah. But I looked it up, and lizards actually see more colors than human beings, and they see better in the dark. So there's absolutely no fucking way for a second that he would have looked, as a scientist and as a lizard.
He still had human eyes.
As a scientist and as a lizard, there's no fucking way he would have not noticed that the color was wrong. Okay. There's no way.
Fair enough.
You just gotta be logical. You gotta follow through. If you're telling a story, tell it right.
Okay, well, I think it's time now we get to one of my favorite reactions of yours.
Oh, great.
For this film. And that is the final scenes of the movie where Captain Stacy gives his life to help Spider-Man. And then Spider-Man and Captain Stacy, while Captain Stacy is dying,
they have a moment.
They have a heart-to-heart. What transpires during that heart-to-heart, Leslie?
Well, one of them is the father of, apparently, a cow who wants to sell the cow to the other one for money. I think that's what's going on. Oh, wait, it's his fucking daughter, not a cow or property of any kind. But the boys, sweetheart, you go over there. You're an incredibly gifted scientist who in high school was running some section of a fucking scientific corporation or like the intern or what, I don't know. She was training interns. Yeah,
she had a top internship with Oscorp.
Right. And she's working for this guy who's a brilliant scientist.
Yeah.
And she's clearly brilliant and smarter than Peter and all of the rest of that. So she's all of these things. Just like Wasp Girl. An Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Just like.
Yeah.
But daddy and would-be boyfriend are going to have a heart-to-heart over the fact that she needs to be protected from everything, which she can't be, by the way. It isn't possible to protect her, so fuck off in the first place.
Yeah.
And what would have protected her the most is for her to be forewarned. Forearmed is forewarned. It would have protected her more to just tell her the truth of things, let her have a part in the conversation, at least. She can't control whether Peter stays with her or leaves her, but she should definitely be involved in the fucking conversation.
Mm.
Instead of, we're going to do what's best for you. Promise me on my deathbed, street corner, whatever. Promise me that you'll stay away from her because that's what's fucking best. So then when her dad dies, she loses both her father and the man she loves at the same time because they think that's what's fucking best for her. It's a piece of fucking shit trope that I'm so fucking sick of.
Right, right. Here's the interesting thing about
We're so self-sacrificial. No, you're assholes.
Here's the interesting thing about that final scene, though, because, okay, Captain Stacy, of course, he died in the comics, and so that's why they had him die in the movie.
Great.
But they wrote themselves into a position where he could have easily been saved at that moment because the lizard had the not fully mixed formula, but the stuff he used to change the other cops, which goes away in an hour. Whatever.
Right.
Peter could have given that to Captain Stacy. He could have regenerated his body because that's what the lizard power brought on.
Right.
And he could have survived, but they didn't do that.
No, they wouldn't. He had to be unsullied by lizard DNA. Ugh. Oh, as soon as that conversation started, I was like, oh, that's when I started typing to you in caps.
Yep.
It was just massive, long texts in caps.
Let me see if I can find those texts.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I was so mad.
Oh, man. Let's see here.
And you said, you were like, yep, I've been waiting for this text. I knew this was coming. Ha, 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 ha.
It's good times.
It's not.
It's great.
It's not good times.
Great times.
It's...
Listen, you know, sometimes you want your daughter to be safe. Okay,
it's not your decision. She's an adult.
Here's what it is. So, so you began watching the film at around, I guess it would have been between 3 and 4 that afternoon.
Okay.
And at 5:39 p.m., I get the text, oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me with this. Mm-hmm. I'm the daddy, and daddy says keep away from my daughter so she'll be safe. Okay, says the boyfriend. Should we ask the girl in question what she thinks? Nah, she's just a girl. We have to decide things for her. So instead of being supported through the loss of her father, she can now be abandoned by both because they decided it's what's best for her. And then you asked me about the bro code. You said, explain this bro code to me. What makes this kid who loves this girl so much agree to side with her father over her fate?
Yes. And what is that? I don't understand that.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say right now that I don't understand that either because I stated my favorite, and you know this by now, my favorite, yeah. My favorite superhero is Daredevil.
Yeah.
Daredevil is a guy that he loves the ladies. And to the point where as soon as he gets with a lady, after probably like maybe a day or two, he's telling them he's Daredevil. He's like, guess what?
Sweet.
I'm Daredevil.
That's sweet. I should watch Daredevil.
So that happens usually with every girl that he ends up with in the comics. And then any situation, he usually always picks staying with the girl over anything else, including if the girl is trying to kill him.
Oh, he takes it too far. Yeah.
Which then again probably reveals more about myself.
Yep.
So I've never understood the bro code, is what I'm basically saying.
I don't understand this thing between the father and the son-in-law, or the whatever it is. The father and the...
The suitor.
Yeah, I don't get it, because if you've developed a relationship with somebody, I don't care if it's male or female, you developed a relationship with someone and it's personal and it's intimate and you love them, why the fuck would you put their interests aside for the sake of anyone else? Mm. I don't understand that. It does make sense to me if you put their interests aside for your own. I do understand that, because right. We all come to that stage at some point in every relationship. It's always, you know, we're always first at some point, unless you're a martyr. There are martyrs. Right. Yeah. People who are martyrs don't do that. But then they get sucked dry, so that's their decision. I don't understand why just to prove something to somebody's father, who cares? And A, who cares? B, he's dying. It doesn't matter what he cares about right now. He'll be dead in a minute. Who cares? It doesn't matter. So, it really doesn't matter.
So basically, your final scene of this would be, she needs to be protected. I want you to stay away from my daughter. She can't live this life. You know what? No. Die, old man. Die. Bye-bye.
No,
bye-bye.
No, my final line would be, that's your perspective. Yeah. It will go with you to your grave. Meanwhile, I'm going to do the loving thing and stay with the girl I love, thereby protecting her much more than I could from over there, across the room or across the city, or leaving her the fuck alone. That is not going to protect her.
Right.
Because she's in trouble no matter what.
Now, I'm trying to remember, because it's been a while since it's been a couple of years since I've actually seen the film the whole way through.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the movie, so he just doesn't go see her at all or anything like that?
Oh, this is what he does. Okay. Ready for this fucking shit?
All right, let's hear it.
He watches her from a rooftop while the funeral's happening. He watches her be sad, hides from her when she looks up because she senses he's there or whatever, mm-hmm. or hopes that he's there. I don't know. She comes to see him at his house and says, why the hell? Like, I love this about her, actually, that she actually comes and confronts him. She doesn't just wander alone in her room.
Yeah.
She's like, dude, everybody was there. Flash was there. Like, all these idiots from school were there. Everybody, my teachers were there. Every single person was there, and there were guns going off, and it was a big deal, and you were the only one who wasn't there. What the fuck? And he's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't be with you. And she goes, instead of him saying, I can't be with you, and then him slamming the door, like, walking away, she goes, she nods, and she turns around, and she walks off. Like, she's the one who leaves that conversation. She starts it and she leaves it. And then in school, she just passes by him. She doesn't speak to him. There's none of that. And he's feeling all bad about it. So there's a scene where he's sitting in class at the end. She's sitting in class. He comes in late. The teacher's like, oh, nice of you to join us. And he's like, I'm sorry, it won't ever happen again. He sits directly behind her. She rolls her eyes. And he says, because when I make a promise, I keep it. Unless I can't. And she smirks, and that's the end.
Right.
So it's like,
Because at the beginning of the second movie, they're back together.
Yeah, he clearly is saying to her in that moment, I did promise your dad, because she guesses before she walks off the porch, before she leaves, she walks down the porch, she turns around and she goes, he made you promise, didn't he? So she is not naive to the point where she doesn't know her own father.
Right.
That's one thing I actually really loved about Gwen Stacy, mm-hmm. was that they didn't make her an idiot. She right. calls him on his shit.
Yeah.
She confronts him about it. She walks away. She's got all her own agency in that part, in right. that whole section, even though they've traded her like a cow.
Right.
In some kind of barter system. I don't know. She still maintains her own agency regardless of what they think they have.
Okay.
You know, so, the control that they think they have
so
over
then
her.
In that instant, does that not save the situation by giving that character the power back?
It saves Gwen Stacy's character
yeah.
is
yeah,
intact.
So, yeah, so what I'm saying is because her character is intact, does that not bring a tick back to
no.
the movie?
No, because she's never in danger of losing her agency. Okay. She never loses it. Just because two idiots go have a heart-to-heart over a dying corpse to
yeah.
be
yeah.
Over her and decide things doesn't mean two shits to who she is and what she decides.
Right.
They think that it does.
Yeah.
And in this kind of a movie, that's normal.
Yeah.
They think that it has some power over her, but it has none. And right. that, I fucking love that about what they did with Gwen. They right. let her stay Gwen.
Right.
But that doesn't make them not idiots.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't make them not idiots.
And that
idiots.
Doesn't make the movie not stupid.
But doesn't that point out that the movie was siding with her and not them?
No. Because in the end, he both betrayed her and gets her back. He gets to have his cake and eat it too.
Okay.
And that's bullshit.
All right.
There's no consequence whatsoever. And she loves him, so she's going to take him back. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made a mistake and whatever, I suppose. But he doesn't own that he made a mistake. He's just, hey, I've got blue balls. So can we still do this? I don't know. I suppose you could infer that he's owning his mistake, but he's not. He's just being smarmy about it.
Smarmy.
And she loves him, so she's going to put up with the smarmy. But that bullshit scene can't be undone. That's
okay.
a fucking piece of shit
right.
scene. I
right.
can't stand that crap. You don't get to exchange a human being without their permission.
Right.
And they did that thinking that they shook on it like men. As though they actually had that power. And that is fucking shit. That's bullshit.
Hmm.
The fact that she didn't agree and the movie let her remain that way is a plus. That's great that
yeah.
happened.
That's what I'm saying. There's that plus there. That's good.
There is that plus there. Gwen Stacy is intact. Her character's intact. The only time they go, good girl, leave it to the men, and she goes along with it is when she gets into the cop car. After she comes out of... She saves the fucking planet, by the way. She's the one who saves the day. She makes the fucking antidote. She's the one who evacuates the Oscorp building. She's the one who stays anyway, even after Peter's like, you gotta get out of there. And she's like, no, I have a fucking job to do. Screw you. This is my responsibility. And she makes the fucking antidote. And she survives, like, Lizard coming in.
Right.
I think he takes the dispersal unit, whatever that thing's called.
Yeah.
That piece of technology. But doesn't touch her. Leaves her alone. The only time she lets them pat her on the head and stick her in a car is after she's already saved the goddamn day. And then they have the nerve to try to exchange her, like, some kind of gift.
Right. Right.
Oh, Steve. So, the movie is... The movie's not saved for me because
okay.
it still devolves into the whole Lizard and it doesn't make any sense. The pseudoscience goes too far. It still goes there where it shouldn't have. It didn't
right.
have to. It could have been really good.
Right. Because I know you liked the spider portion of the science. You thought that the spiders were used correctly.
I think that they did a good job. They made his spider tendencies real. He makes a web at one point in the sewer where he's trying to figure out which tunnel the lizard is in, which where there's movement going
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
So he builds a web that he uses correctly as a spider would, waiting for tremors to come down each of the, like, they're all going up tunnels, right?
Yeah,
all
the
strands.
Spider lines. Yeah, yeah.
So he sits in the middle where all of these tunnels meet and waits like a spider would.
Right.
And then at some point all these lizards I mean, that's kind of a giveaway. He's noticing, like, there's tremors here. Yeah. But then all these lizards come down, and they're using his web as, like, a network.
Right.
They come down to the center, and then they all start going towards the lair. So he's like, okay, I'll follow the lizards.
Just follow the lizards. Yeah. They always know.
But I thought they did a really good job with him. They gave him enough time to adapt to his new sensorial intake.
Right.
Which, being autistic, that was really cool because my senses work a lot like the spider senses that he was getting.
I get that, yeah.
Really cool stuff they did. Again, they gave all of those adjustment periods the right amount of dramatic time, I think, and the right amount of weight. And his whole angst made sense. Like, and him trying to keep secrets from people made sense, but he didn't keep them too long. He told Gwen. Like, I really did love it until the lizard and then that bit. But I loved Gwen all the way through. I think she was good. But yeah.
Okay.
Still ultimately clearly pissed me off in lots of ways.
Totally.
But mostly this movie pissed me off because it had the potential to be what none of the other superhero movies have been so far that I've seen. It really did have that potential. Ant-Man never had that potential because from the very beginning, it was the father saying, there, little daughter, you don't get to do things. But this one didn't have that.
Right.
It didn't have that until right at the fucking end. And they couldn't help themselves. They had to put it in there.
Yeah.
So tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I still think quite an enjoyable film that was...
Sure.
The franchise was unfortunately ruined by its sequel, which got extremely campy and over the top.
Ugh, that's unfortunate.
But the thing that was actually good in the second movie was they did a good job of keeping the relationship between Gwen and Peter pretty strong. Like, that storyline was being told well.
Oh, okay. But they didn't have them break up right at the beginning and then they have to get back together the whole time?
No, they're together.
Well, that's fascinating.
They're together as a group until then there comes the point where she unfortunately dies.
Sure, because that has to happen.
That happens, yes.
Yeah.
That stuff between the two of them, like there's some problems in it, but
sure,
it has less to do with him being Spider-Man and more to do with life problems.
Sure.
So it's a bit more believable, but then the rest of the film is terrible because it's like all the villains are campy.
That's the thing. That's what they did with the lizard. Yeah. They went too far, I think.
Right. Well, I still think it's an enjoyable film. And people who enjoy us talking about this amazing Spider-Man will probably enjoy us talking about Spider-Man Homecoming, which is probably still in theaters by the time you hear this. And if not, it just left theaters. When it comes to DVD and Blu-ray, we will be talking about it. We will be talking about it, and there will probably be even a lot more anger coming from Leslie because that film also has Iron Man. So.
Oh, no! Fuck.
Alrighty, so stay tuned for that, but for now, we're going to finish this one. Leslie, where can people find you? Because right now, you're currently on tour. Where can people find those dates?
LeslieHudson.com.
Perfect, and you can find everything I do at GeekArtShow.com, which you probably already know. But I'm telling you again. And, you know, you can find this podcast as well as the many other podcasts we do, Back Issue Bloodbath, Geek Hard, at iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, leave a comment, and then tell everyone you know that Don't Make Me Watch That is the best damn show where two people argue about shit here.
That's asking a lot. The best?
The best damn
best ever?
Podcast you know where two people argue about shit.
Wow, that's, yeah, you are
asking
a lot.
It's my favorite one.
There you go.
If there was a video right now, you'd see me across my arms and smiling. It's great.
Ding!
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we've come to the end. I've been Andrew Young.
I'm Leslie Hudson.
And Leslie didn't crack, but she got betrayed.
I got betrayed. Yeah, that's true. Leslie got stabbed.
Leslie got stabbed, yo!